This is your NPR news station, 90.3 WBHM and 91.5 WSGN. I'm Andrew Yeager. Historical markers and memorials around Birmingham are reminders of the city's painful and violent civil rights past, but they can also be means for reconciliation. That's what Vanderbilt University graduate student Stephanie Fulbright argues. In her research, she looked at these kinds of public objects in Birmingham and in Northern Ireland, where residents endured years of conflict between Roman Catholics and Protestants in what they call the Troubles. Fulbright spoke with me and began by drawing a distinction between history and memory.
I think there's a tendency to say, okay, memory's over on one side and it's completely subjective and it's just completely emotional and therefore it's usually clouded and it's usually wrong. And then we have this great scientific objective thing on the other side called history. And the unfortunate fact is history's not nearly that objective. Facts require interpretation, and so there always is a level of subjectivity in there. That being said, facts have more or less consensus and can be discussed, and there's source material. Memory, on the other hand, tends to have less grounding in sources that someone who disagrees with me could also look at. Memory is squishier.
It's sort of the difference between the stories that grandmother tells about what she remembers of Birmingham versus what the photographs from the civil rights protests tell me.
Yeah, and I think it's important to not disregard either end of that, because the experiences that your grandmother had are real and are sources in and of their own right. But you can't just pick the sources that you want. You need to look at all of them.
You said as you were looking at this, you found ways to that these paradigms could be used for reconciliation. What do you mean by that? Or how does that work in a practical sense?
There are some things that historical thinking gives us. Tools for interrogating sources and not just taking them at face value and saying, okay, this is what it says and off I go, but saying, how do you know that? Another tool is learning to see complexity and to see nuance. And I think also history cultivates a sense of curiosity. With all of those things, history gives us a way of approaching differences between groups and cultivating that curiosity, which ultimately leads to empathy. And empathy is the first step to reconciliation and healing.
So that's the theoretical thought that undergirds all this. How does that play out in historical markers, signs? You look at murals in Northern Ireland.
Some of it is in the traditional public history places, so signs, museums, things like that. You give people sources that maybe say different things and then say, all right, what do you think about this? That's encouraging that type of thinking. Particularly the Troubles murals in Northern Ireland, I think, are examples of memory. And they're examples where you have this giant piece of public art on a three-story building that's saying unabashedly, this is how we're choosing to remember this particular event. Some of the other areas I look at are churches and social justice organizations. There's some great work that's been done in Northern Ireland about offering programming around historical events, but that does this work of challenging the traditional narrative and nuancing it and making it more complex. And when I was talking with folks in Northern Ireland who had led these courses, they found that people on both sides of the Troubles were able to find sort of their pockets of saying, yes, that is my story, and then also saying, I never knew that about this other story. They then had this turning of empathy, and people built friendships out of these classes.
This may be a little reductive or too simplistic, but it sounds to me like these objects are opportunities for conversation. But you're saying that there needs to be more thinking about how we have that conversation.
Yes. Yes, definitely. How we talk about things is sometimes more important than what we say.
We spent a lot of time looking at Birmingham. You spent a lot of time looking at Northern Ireland. What similarities do you see? What differences do you see?
I think there's something to be said about, you know, obviously we see public history in museums. We see it in churches. Murals surprised me a lot. The fact that there was a corollary mural here in Birmingham at the Wells Fargo building that I could compare to these hundreds of murals in Belfast. I think some of the biggest differences within that are how those entities are approaching the histories and the conflict. The Birmingham Civil Rights Institute, I think, has a much clearer vision of the story they want to tell than the Ulster Museum does. The Ulster Museum takes a very conservative approach in their story and tries to appease both sides by not saying too much. I think the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute says, no, we're interpreting history, and this is our interpretation, and here's why we have come to this interpretation. And I think it's a much stronger result.
That's Vanderbilt University graduate student Stephanie Fulbright. Her research looks at how Birmingham and Northern Ireland are using public memorials to deal with their painful histories. You can hear Fulbright discuss what individuals living in the South can take away from her research in an extended interview at our website, wbhm.org.